respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. All right. I don't have a blank one, so we'll just hold off on that for a second. Sorry. Feel a little bit all over the place. There are a few coming back, are there? Well, I'll just encourage you. One of the things I'd like to encourage you about is Healing on the Streets is actually a wonderful ministry, an opportunity to express your faith in quite a nerve-wracking way sometimes. What I will say is, at the moment we've got from our church doing Healing on the Streets, we've got Marlene, Keegan. No, who have we got? Marie, Keegan, Ruth. Okay. It's kind of all women, and that's amazing. And what I'd like to say is I think sometimes our women are braver than our men. And I'd really love to see some of our men step up and say, maybe I need to go and support the women. And you don't have to be good at it. I've done it, and I'm not good at it, and it is a little nerve-wracking, but you just ask people, can I pray for you? Is there anything you'd like me to pray for? And opportunities open up. Some people say no, some people say yes. And then you come away and you look at it at the end of the morning and you go, oh, we prayed for 15 people this morning. We prayed for 20 people this morning. And you know, that's eternal work in my book, you know. So maybe if the Lord is, if you know that you've got a heart to just pray for people, I'd say, go for it. Just encourage you in that. Anyway, right, I'm off the point. This morning, we're going to continue our series, The Victorious Christian Life. And I was speaking to Tim and he said, can you make sure that you include the victorious Christian life in your sermon? And I laughed and I said, oh, are you serious? He said, yeah, you've got to tie it back into what we're doing. So we'll see if we can fit it in there somewhere. All right. I'd like to start by just sharing a brief story. When I was 18 years old, I went to Africa. I went to Zimbabwe for 3 weeks, and I went with Jim, and John Greenall was 18 as well, and we went and we did a mission trip in Africa, and that was absolutely fantastic. And Margaret, sorry. I nearly forgot you there, Margaret. We went, and Jim and Margaret have been doing lots of those type of trips, and it was amazing 3 weeks. And I remember we played a football match, which of course me and John got way too into, you know, and you can imagine it. But I remember this one point where all the Africans would play barefoot, and this one guy picked the ball up in his own half and he just volleyed the ball barefoot and it just soared past the goal, like miles past it. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, I could never do that on my feet. And I was chatting with him afterwards and I looked at his feet and they were like bricks. Like, because he'd been walking barefoot his whole life, and it's like he'd built up this protective layer around his foot, like this hard, calloused foot. And it had happened because over all the years, the little cuts and the little scrapes and the little jabs had hardened him up and hardened his feet. And so he was able to do something that I thought was quite impressive. He couldn't feel the pain. Couldn't feel the pain that I would, if I kicked it, I would have been like, ooh, poor me. you know. He couldn't feel the pain. And I just, you know, actually that felt, to me at the time, that felt quite impressive. And it was quite impressive. but I hope you can understand that I'm not here to talk about feet this morning. I'm talking about hearts. And I want to maybe take a little think about that. You know, has your heart been hardened up over time? Have you built up a protective layer that allows you to not get hurt and to walk through things without having to feel any pain? And I just want to challenge you this morning that, do you know what? That's quite, it works. It kind of works. But you're missing out. you're missing out on what your heart was made for. It's because in that situation, you all right, you don't feel the getting bashed about and the hurt and the pain, but you don't feel any of the other stuff either. And your heart becomes void of so many other blessings that the Lord has made for us. And I want to encourage you that there is a way to make your heart soft again. And the Lord's done it to me. and I remember being young and be like, nothing fazes me. Nothing upsets me. I can look at anything and it doesn't affect me. And I think the older I've got, the softer I get emotional at loads of things now. But it's not bad. Doesn't mean that I'm not tough. Let's have a look. Here we go. Ezekiel, what does it say? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. And this is in the New Living Translation, and I really like it. It says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take away your stony, stubborn heart and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. You know, that's what we need. This tender, responsive heart. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning, because it's the heart that can hear God. It's the heart that can change. It's the heart that can feel people and experience that love and experience all that goodness that God's got for you. All right, I'm going to go on to my next slide now. Ephesians 4 says, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other. It's hard to be kind to each other when you're so hard all the time. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I just want to read that back again. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And I suppose this is what I want to get to and talk to you about this morning. If you want to have a tender heart, it goes hand in hand with forgiveness. You can't have one without the other. So there we go. Oh, look, I've got my quote in for Tim, who will like this, and he watches it later on. The new tender, responsive heart is one of the great joys, but also one of the most valuable assets to living the victorious Christian life. Amen? And I want to just say, forgiveness is the way to stay tender. You know, when God comes and meets you in that moment, I don't know if, I'm sure that you've met him, and when you meet him, and in a sense, you come into this wonderful forgiveness. You come into it and the Lord just washes you clean. And you become soft in a moment. But over the years, sometimes you can harden up again. And you're not living in the forgiveness that is available to you. And you're not giving the forgiveness that God has given you. And it hardens you up over time. It just does. All right. Let's keep moving. So what are some of the some of the things that some of the things that make us harden up. And one of the things I want to talk about this morning is wounds. Wounds that won't heal harden us up. Old wounds harden us up. And I don't, you know, when I say, you've got to forgive, I'm not taking that lightly. I know that even when I say that, there'll be people who will be like, I just want to walk out. But I want to encourage you this morning that stick with me a little bit, because I'm going to try and be practical this morning and look at, it's not really my forte, but I'm going to try and look at how we can practically forgive. Because I think sometimes we can think about forgiveness like, it's just a moment and it happens. But the reality is sometimes forgiveness is a process, and it happens in stages and it happens over time. You know, sometimes the Lord just meets us in a way and it just, and we just find it and it sticks. And in other times, I don't know about you, but I'm going to forgive you. And then tomorrow happens. And now I feel like I haven't really forgiven you and I need to forgive you again. And I don't want to forgive you. And it's just a battle. And I want to encourage you that that isn't just your experience, that's my experience, and that's most people's experience, is that forgiveness doesn't just happen in a moment. There are certain things that you've got to work through with the Lord. And so what I want to talk about this morning is, all right, how can we do that? What does that look like? I'm going to go for 4 steps. I know I should have a 3-point plan, but I've got 4 steps. Okay? This is step 1. Acknowledge the hurt. Okay, I think I realise that kind of my way of dealing with things that people that have hurt me is that I just brush it off. And I say things like, just water off a duck's back. I'm all right. Doesn't affect me. I don't know if that's you, maybe that's not you, but that's my way of dealing it. I just put it in a box and forget about it. I'm too tough to be affected by this little thing or this little person. It doesn't matter to me. And you can tell yourself that, and I have, but I realised that it isn't actually the truth. And one of the reasons I've realised it is because I'm like, I actually even sometimes sit and think, I've got to talk about forgiveness, but I haven't really had to deal with much in my life, like some people have. And I'll be honest, there's people who have had to deal with really tough stuff, and I don't know how that feels. But I have been through some things, and our hearts kind of operate in the same way. And what I realised is that although I thought I was okay, when I take a little bird's eye view at my own parenting of my children, I'm parenting them in a way, and the motivations for some of that parenting go back to the things that people did to me when I was a kid and I haven't really dealt with. And so I want them to be so tough because I don't want them to get hurt. And so wait a minute, there's something here that I haven't dealt with. And I want to encourage you this morning that forgiveness brings freedom. Amen? And when I say acknowledge the hurt, I think there's a point where we have to say, do you know what? I have been hurt by this. I have. I'm going to admit to myself that that actually really hurt me. And that's just step 1. Now, so when I say, you've got to forgive, and you think, well, I can't. Okay, well, just think about it in these stages. Well, I could admit that I got hurt. Well, that's step 1. And I think it's so important sometimes to say, Lord, that person really hurt me. And I know there's sometimes a sense, you know, like, and I suppose if I talk about it, if you've had a deep, like, burn, you can't deal with it like you deal with if you had a deep cut where you just stitch it up and cover it up. You know, if you've had a deep burn, you've got to let the air get to it. You've got to let it out. And I want to encourage you that there's part of this that we need to bring things into the light. Now, I know that sometimes we look at forgiveness like the whole picture of forgiveness. And I suppose what I'm encouraging you to do is like break it down into steps. Because sometimes we think like this, you know, like say you really buckled your knee. You've got bad knee problems. You messed your knee up. Yeah, I mean, what you can do and what you can say, well, I'm all right. My knee's all right. Because in the back of your mind, you're like, to sort my knee out is going to cost me so much. I'm going to have to pay the doctors. I'm going to have to be off work for 6 weeks. I'm going to have to do physio. I'm going to have to go through the pain of the operation and the pain of the rehab after the operation. And you know what? It's easier just to say, I'm all right. My knee's fine. I'll just drag it along with me. But I suppose what I want to encourage you is that to do that takes so much emotional and mental energy. Like, and I'm not talking about knees now, I'm talking about the things, the hurts that people have done to you. To just drag those hurts along with you takes so much emotional energy. It does. To carry it, you think it doesn't, but it comes out in other ways. And you end up snapping at someone who didn't really deserve it. And it's nothing to do with them. It's because you've been carrying so much stuff on your back for so long and you're not even aware of it sometimes, just carrying it. And my prayer is that the Lord will come to us this morning and just make us aware. Amen? There's things that need to be dealt with. Lord, bring them into the light. And again, I mean, we look at mental health. You know, if you're spending all that emotional, mental energy just being all right, just carrying everything, it's going to cost your mental health. It will. It just will. And you might not be able to put the two and two together. And I pray this morning, Lord, come and put the two and two together for us so that we can move forward into freedom. Amen. Suppose we can have a little look at Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat. Do you remember it? Joseph's brothers, they chuck him down a well, and then they sell him off to the Egyptians because they're jealous of him and because he's a little bit arrogant. I mean, he's just a bit young. Maybe he didn't understand that, you know. And he goes through so many trials and hardships in his life. And then God just works. He finds, something amazing. God works in his life and he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. I just want to encourage you in this. And then his brothers come to him on their knees, starving. And he's the prime minister. And they come to him and I just want to read this. Joseph could stand it no longer. There was many people in the room and he said to the attendants, out all of you. And he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians could hear him and the word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. But what I love about this is Joseph is saying, it hurt. And I'm bawling my eyes out because it hurt. And that's okay. And I just want to encourage you, that's okay. That's good. And he says, please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer and he said to them, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. They're calling it out. And sometimes we need to get to a point where we can call it out. Not just bury it. We want to do that in love. Not in you hurt me and you're rubbish. But sometimes we just have to admit and we have to call it out. I love the fact that Joseph was doing it in the context of trying to reconcile with his brothers. Isn't that amazing? But it's hard to have reconciliation. This is the thing. You can't have forgiveness if you can't say what the problem is. You can't have that reconciliation if everything's just tied up in your heart. All right. This is the big one. Step two. Surrender my right to punish. Okay. Well, I've been wronged. So, there's no, you shouldn't be allowed to get away with this. Anyone ever felt like that? Well, you've done this to me, so I'm entitled to do this to you. But that won't bring you freedom. I just want to encourage you. It might make you feel good in the moment that you've got your justice, but it won't bring you any freedom. It just will not. How about this? If I let this go, then I'm saying that what they did was okay. That's how we can feel, can't we? I'm not letting this go. Because if I let this go, it's like saying that I'm not worth anything. And that I deserve to be treated like that. And that's how we can feel. So I'm not letting this go. Justice needs to be done here. This needs to be fair. And this isn't fair. And that's how we can feel. And there's something right about that, in a sense. Because God is fair, isn't he? How about this? Look, I don't mind forgiving them, but they need to pay for what they did. And so we're holding on to things sometimes. And I'll tell you when the most tough time to hold on to that is when you wouldn't mind forgiving them, but they don't even think they did anything wrong. Well, how am I supposed to deal with that? And I want to encourage you. Let's see what the Word says. Romans 12 says this. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honourable. Do all that you can do to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay back. I will pay them back, says the Lord. That's a tough scripture, that. But it's a wonderful encouragement that instead of saying, I'm letting this go and I'm giving up on my justice, we're not saying that. What we're saying is, Lord, I'm handing this over to you. I'm not dealing with this. You deal with this. And this is a wonderful freeing step, isn't it? I haven't got the responsibility to make it right anymore. That's with the Lord. And we know, and do you know what? I looked up some verses and it talks about the justice of the Lord and the vengeance of the Lord and the fairness of the Lord. And he sees all. And this is what I love. You're not getting away with it with the Lord. You might have been able to wrong me, but he fights for me. And so I'm just going to have, it takes faith and it takes trust, and you've got to trust that the Lord's going to deal with it. I think that's part of the challenge, isn't it? So if we're going to move into forgiveness, we have to have faith that the Lord will deal with things. And then we hand it over to him. And then tomorrow we might need to hand it back to him again. And tomorrow hand it back to him again. But that's okay. Don't worry about that. How do you know? So some of the things I just made some notes here. Give me 2 seconds. It's like sometimes you can watch that person doing well in life, and not acknowledging what they've done, and it can eat away at you a little bit. And you can sit there at night time, looking up at the ceiling, running everything through your head, saying what you should have, could have done, or what you should have said, or what you're going to say. And the red mist comes, and your peace goes. It might feel like quite good in that moment when you think about getting your revenge and your justice, but the reality is it's robbed you of your peace. And that's tough. But you've got to see it like, I want to hold on to my peace and my joy, and if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to let go. How about this? Maybe you know you're stuck in this stage. If whenever you get into friction with those individuals, you know, sometimes you're like, no, I have forgiven them, yeah. But then whenever you get into any friction with that individual, you feel the need to remind them that they kind of messed up last time, and they really still owe you one. Do you remember what you did? Yeah, but that's not the context of what's happening here at all. Yeah, but I'm still going to remind you, because really you need to be on your knees before me because of what you've done last time. And what we realise is I have not surrendered my right to punish. I'm holding on to it. And it's really important that we say, right, Lord, you deal with them. Amen? I've got this. This is a nice slide, this one. Okay? I think this is quite helpful. What is forgiveness and what forgiveness is not? Forgiveness is about freedom. When we forgive people, we become free. And also, they have the opportunity to become free. Forgiveness is not justifying other people's actions. It's not letting them off the hook. It's not a guarantee of reconciliation. And it's not a guarantee that you have to do life with them afterwards. I think it's important to separate the two. Stage 3. Oh, this is a big one. How many people have been like this? Right, I probably should pray for them. You know, that our Bible encourages us to pray for people. I'm not doing it, Lord. I'm not praying for them because they don't deserve it. No, I'll pray for them. Lord, send down fire. Lord, if there's a pigeon flying past their heads, may they be laid low in the valley of destruction. I'd encourage you, start off there. If that's where you're up to, start off there. That's okay. All right, listen to David in the Psalms. What does he say? He's destroy them, Lord, kill them all. But it's a starting point, isn't it? At least you've gone to the Lord with it. Amen? Think about the Lord's Prayer. We've got the Lord's Prayer. How's it go? Our Lord who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Am I skipping bits? I am, aren't I? But it says this, doesn't it? It says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. All right? But this is, Lord, teach us how to pray. This is how we should pray every time. What he's saying is, this should be a daily thing. So when I was saying earlier, like, we might have to go back and do it again tomorrow. That's all right. That's what the Bible's saying. Bring it. Keep bringing it to the Lord. Keep bringing these people. Lord, they've annoyed me. Lord, I can't deal with them today. That's okay. keep putting them before the Lord. This is one, here we are. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Anyone read this and gone, Lord, I smiled at them today. Bring those coals down. Come on, Lord. Well, that's the next stage. Well, Lord, I'm going to try. But this isn't done in the natural man. This is done in the prayer man. Does that make sense? Things are not changing in the physical. They're changing when you're with the Lord. How about this? Now we're getting serious. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We're commanded to do this. Have you ever got... Do you know what? This is the zone where I've managed to get free of... This is the zone where this pray for them is the part where I managed to get free of people. And the hold that they've had over my life. This is the stage for me. When I've managed to get to a point where I can say, Lord, bless them. Bless their life. Lord, may they find you afresh. May you work in their family. And maybe through gritted teeth to begin with, because I know it's the right thing to do. And maybe later, because Lord has changed my heart. Because I've brought things to Him. And then I'm free of them. I'm free of what they did to me. How? There's no power in what they did to me anymore. And this is the wonderful freedom through forgiveness. And to me, this is absolutely wonderful stuff. Right, we're going to move on to the final stage. And I'm being a little bit academic today, and this isn't normally my style, but this is a tough one. But I want to explain this one, so don't shut yourself out from this to begin with, okay? I can't count. Hang on a minute. Is this supposed to be step three or supposed to be step four? Four. All right. Right. I would like to blame somebody else, but I can't. That's just terrible PowerPoint skills. Step four. Oh, thank you. Step four. Be open to reconciliation. Now, I want to explain this one because this is tough. Like, now, maybe this is all right if it's somebody else in the church and you know, like me and Tim had a little argument on the stage, and he walked off last week, and then we went and we had a chat about it, and we made up straight away, and it was fine. Okay, and maybe it's easy when it's someone you know who loves you, yeah. And maybe it's this being open to reconciliation is fine when it's a brother, but it's much tougher in other situations. And I just want to encourage you that being open to reconciliation isn't the same as you have to reconcile with everybody, because you don't. I'm telling you, you don't. That's okay. But let's read the word. What's the word say? It's a slightly... So, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, if someone doesn't want to reconcile with you, that's okay. You've done your bit. Okay? That's okay. It's all right. You're all right before the Lord if you've done your bit. And what does it say? As far as it depends on you. So, you know, like, I've done everything I can. and they don't want to reconcile with me. Don't beat yourself up about that. That's done with now. You can be free of feeling guilty about that because you've dealt with it with the Lord. One of the things I thought about was Joseph. You remember Joseph and his brothers came in and kind of tested them, didn't he? He didn't just forgive them straight away. He wanted to test and see if they had changed enough to bring himself back into relationship with them. And so he tested them without them realizing. And I want to encourage you, it's unwise to jump back in with someone who's been abusing you. That's unwise. That's not what we're talking about when we say be open to reconciliation. You know, and sometimes we can feel awful about this, and there's a little trap, and the devil loves to work things. He loves to make a little angle to make you feel guilty. And so we feel like we've given it to the Lord and we're moving in forgiveness, but we're not opening the door because it just doesn't feel like that is a wise decision. And the devil will be like, well, you haven't really forgiven them properly, have you? If you're not willing to hang out with them every day. If you're not willing to open your house up to them. Yeah, but that's not the truth. We've got to move in wisdom. I just want to call that one out. You know, we can feel guilty that we haven't forgiven them properly because we've kept people at arm's length. And sometimes that's wise. And I encourage you, that's okay. There's a difference between forgiveness and fellowship. And fellowship is what's a good way of describing fellowship? I didn't do a description for fellowship. Come on, someone help me out with this. What would you say fellowship was? Intimacy together. It's like being in unity with each other. There we go. Being in unity with each other. That fellowship. So we would call ourselves a fellowship of people who are in unity with one another. Okay? There's a difference between forgiveness and fellowship. Okay? Let's have a look at this. I hope you can see that from there. Forgiveness is something that I do. Okay? I forgive you. Yeah? And that actually brings freedom for me. And it gives you the opportunity to move into freedom as well. But that's not the... So fellowship is different. It's different from forgiveness. Fellowship we do if and only if there's true repentance. There's actually change. There's trust. Honour and respect. And so what I'm encouraging you is that you don't have to be in fellowship with someone who hasn't repented and you can't trust. It won't work. So and maybe if you're in a relationship and you want to get back in fellowship with someone, these are the things that you can work on. If it's not working that well right now, these are some things that are really important. I just wanted to make that kind of, whatever you call it, you know what I'm saying, right? And again, what else have we got to support that? So Titus 3:10 says, warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time and after that have nothing to do with them. Now, maybe that's a bit harsh. Maybe I'm stretching the context a little bit, but what we've got to understand is that sometimes there is a place for saying, all right, okay. Okay, so can we remember the four stages or the three stages? Stage one. Sorry, I've forgotten it now. Acknowledge the hurt. Stage two, surrender my right to punish. Stage three, pray for them. Stage four, be open to reconciliation. And we understand fully what that means now. Okay. I want us to respond together. Is that okay? Now, maybe the Lord is just prodding you this morning. Enoch, I'd love it if you'd come up and just play something nice while we respond together, if that's okay. I'm not seeing Alice.